Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Some accusations, I guess you could say, have been made for a long time about Martin Luther, and on this November 10th, when the church celebrates his birthday, it's time to revisit a question that's rather thorny about the 16th century reformer, and that of his thought on the Jews and whether or not he was anti-Semitic, whether or not his thought on the Jews actually gave rise to or fueled the anti-Semitism that we found in the 20th century, in particular Nazi thought. Joining us to talk about and to answer this question, was Martin Luther anti-Semitic? Dr. Uwe Simonetto, he's an international journalist, executive director of the League of Faithful Masks, based in Irvine, California, and author of the book The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Other Modern Myths. Uwe, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
How do you respond? I mean, I'm sure you have heard this question numerous times. How do you respond when someone says, look, I was just on the internet and I saw something Luther wrote about the Jews, and that guy hated Jews?
Yeah. Well, there are two ways to respond. First of all, there is a historical way, and then there is a theological way, and then a personal way. First of all, Luther was never anti-Semitic. He was late in life, and that's in the second half of his career, of his ministry. He was indeed anti-Jewish, but in a religious sense, because it knocked him that the Jews, after he, Luther, had cleaned up the gospel with them, wouldn't accept the gospel. And so therefore, he thought that the presence of Jews in a Christian land were an insult to the gospel, which, by the way, never became a popular theme in the Lutheran Church. His own contemporaries in his own circles, people criticized him for his harshness. I'd like to say something else about this. First of all, Luther, many people seem to have forgotten that, lived before Queen Victoria, and therefore political correctness was not part of the way people in the 16th century talked and thought. If anybody would bother to read what Luther said about his fellow Germans, calling them all pigs and swine and snorters and God knows what, or about his fellow Lutherans or any others, they would realize he was a guy who was frothing at his mouth in a way that we don't like, and the Lutheran Church never particularly liked, and actually suppressed. But you can, so that is one issue. We'll get back to, if you don't mind, this particular part a little later. If Luther had been responsible, or the progenitor of the Holocaust, you could say Buddha was responsible for the Cambodian Holocaust, because former Buddhists have engineered this Cambodian Holocaust, where one third of the population was slaughtered. You can also say, and these are all just historical facts, you can also say, how is it that Luther should have been responsible for the Holocaust if most of the senior Nazis were lapsed Roman Catholics, starting with Hitler and Himmler and everybody else? And when most of the concentration camp commanders, three-quarters of all concentration camp commanders, were Austrians, so by definition Roman Catholics. Not that I want to blame Catholicism for the Holocaust. That's another issue. So, I mean, it makes absolutely no sense to do this. Secondly, if you look at the history of Germany since the Reformation, you'll find that the Jews were more integrated in Germany than in most European countries. Right up until the end of the 19th century, for example, the Dreyfus scandal in France broke because Dreyfus, being Jewish, was falsely accused of being a spy for the Germans, because by definition, since he was Jewish, he must have been pro-German, because the Germans had integrated Jews more. Lutheran power, the Jewish rabbis in the days of the German monarchy, were by order of the king had to wear the same vestments, so to make absolutely sure that they were on an equal level, equal status. So that is another thing.
Let's take a break right there, Uwe, because I want to pick up on the other side, let you finish your point. A lot of historical facts being brought forth by Dr. Uwe Simonetto as we answer the question, was Martin Luther anti-Semitic? On this November 10th, Thursday, we're coming to you live. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and go to the Listen On Demand page. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org and click Listen On Demand.
We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you an Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Thursday afternoon, November the 10th. Martin Luther, the 16th century reformer, Martin Luther's birthday today, answering a common question raised about him. Was he anti-Semitic? Many have alleged he is or was because of some of the things he wrote about the Jews. So, Uwe, it sounds like history is simply not on the side of those who want to draw this unbroken line between some things Luther wrote about the Jews for theological reasons. And
decidedly not.
And what happened in Nazi Germany?
Well, what happened in Nazi Germany was that, first of all, one might introduce here the concept of evil. It's become unfashionable to speak about this in liberal theological circles, but that suddenly evil can act the way good or faith can act, according to Luther, you know, like a cloud burst and suddenly hits one region and then leaves off and goes dry again. Is very evident here. What happened in Nazi Germany is, of course, that anti-Christian, non-Christians, usually spiritists, or atheists, heathens. I mean, adopted, picked up some of Luther's statements, which, by the way, had been hidden and underground until the late 19th century, until they were discovered by a Prussian court preacher by the name of Adolf Stöcker, who was not a Lutheran, he was a Calvinist, who therefore was expelled from the court by Bismarck, and was actually sacked for that. And of course, but he was an anti-Semite and brought all this to the fore. And of course, the Nazis picked up on this while persecuting confessional Lutherans, as they were persecuting faithful Roman Catholics and other Christians. And the people who committed these crimes were not by definition Lutherans, not by any definition of the word Lutheran.
So can you explain the role of, I think what people often don't understand about Luther's time, and especially the context and what he wrote when he did about the Jews late in life, was that it was illegal at the time. It was a civil crime to commit blasphemy, and Luther considered the Jews' arguments against the gospel to be a breaking of that civil law. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, yes, we are talking about a Christian nation or Christian nations and Christian principalities, Luther considered, again, only the late Luther, not the early Luther, there's quite a distinct difference here, considered the denial of Christ's work on the cross an insult to the divinity of Christ and to God, and therefore wanted to indeed burn down the synagogues and do all sorts of things as he ranted and raved about it. That is, of course, the same Luther who said he would do nothing, delighted to baptize Jews, and that he could obviously, he personally, would happily be married to a Jewish woman, as he would be would sleep with Turks or God knows what. So Luther did say this, which of course conflicted immensely with the racist attitude of the Nazis, who made sex with people of other ethnicities, such as the Jews, a crime, which brought you a concentration camp. So it was precisely that. At the same time, Todd, let's not forget another thing. The probably vilest form of genuine anti-Semitism, not just anti-Jewishness, but anti-Semitism, hailed from the 15th century and was actually the work of a Jewish convert to Catholicism by the name of Johannes Pfefferkorn, which was roundly rejected later by the Lutherans and, one has to say, also by the Roman Catholics. But the arguments that the Nazis later picked up, including the racist arguments, came from that end. So there is actually no genuine historical, psychological, or theological reason to assume that there was a direct line from Luther via Bismarck, for God's sake, which is another thing that they say, to Hitler. Bismarck, who was very, very closely linked to Jews and had very, very close connections, and is also part of that line. Frederick the Great was supposedly also part of the line.
Was Luther essentially then early on and then disappointed later because he was naive? He believed that once the gospel had been brought to light, once the message of Jesus Christ had been made as clear as it was, that the Jews would believe it. Was he naive, Uwe?
No, I don't think he was naive. I think he was just what I am right now, liberish. You know, he was a guy who was greatly disappointed towards the end of his life, not just with his inability to convince the Jews, but also with his inability to convince Germans, so-called Lutherans of the truth of the gospel. He was a bitter man and a very, very ill man, in immense pain all the time. And, you know, if you're in pain and if you're liberate, you say things that you wouldn't say normally as a younger church-going, happily married pastor. I think one should consider this very, very carefully. And that is a personal and psychological and physiological reason for these things, which, of course, those who keep attacking Luther do not take into account, including people like Thomas Mann and others.
So then, with about a minute here, how should we answer people in a nutshell when they say, look, I just read Luther writing about the Jews and their lies. This guy was an anti-Semite. How could you possibly listen to anything he has to say? With about a minute here, Uwe, in a nutshell, how should we respond?
In a nutshell, you should respond that, A, the entire Lutheran Church for all the centuries since the late 16th century rejected that. Secondly, Luther sounded un-Lutheran by rejecting what he had said beforehand. And thirdly, he was, as he said it himself more often than anybody else, he was himself fallible and made mistakes and made egregious mistakes, which is where he joins the rest of us in the world. But it is totally historically and theologically and psychologically false to accuse him of the misdeeds of Nazis in a country that was not uniquely Lutheran, because these outrages did not occur in all Lutheran countries like Scandinavia, you know. So it's nonsense, and it's ill will against Lutherans, and one should reject it outright. One should read what Luther said had said previously, which we all revere so much.
Dr. Uwe Simonetto is an international journalist, executive director of the League of Faithful Masks, based in Irvine, California, and author of the book, The Fabricated Luther, Refuting Nazi Connections and Other Modern Myths. You can find out more about The Fabricated Luther at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can order The Fabricated Luther by calling Concordia Publishing House. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for The Fabricated Luther by Uwe Simonetto. Uwe, thanks for being our guest.
Thanks, Tom. All right.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., Veterans Day, we're going to be talking with Dr. Dan Gard about the vocation of soldier. That's something Luther also wrote about. Can a soldier also be saved? We'll make some reference to that, I'm sure, tomorrow when we talk with Dr. Dan Gard. Also tomorrow, we'll discuss 4th century Bishop Martin of Tours with Pastor Will Whedon. The reason for that conversation is because that's his day, Martin of Tours. That also gives us the reason why Martin Luther is named Martin. He was baptized on that day so long ago. I don't think I'd want to be held to everything I've ever written, much less everything I've ever said. And if anything, as a good example of how wrong it can go when our thoughts are not guided by God's word. Was he well-intentioned? Did he consider the blasphemies against the gospel to be blasphemies? Rightly? Of course he did. And that same criticism could be leveled against anyone who would speak against the gospel, against the Pope, against the Germans who refused to hear it, against the Jew, against the Turk. That was his real outrage, but perhaps an age, an illness, a little too loose of the tongue, or the pen in this case. He said things that his theological descendants have never wanted to repeat. Not those who read what Luther said in matters where his mind and his thought was guided completely by God's word. Things that his theological descendants would never want to repeat and never should repeat. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.